Parshas Yisroi, we have Moshe Rabbeinu has two children, and the pasuk says, "Ve'es shnei bonero, asher shem hu echad gershoim, ki amar gehayisi be'eretz nachriya." So Moshe and Zipporah had two children. The first one, the shem hu echad, is gershoim. Why? Why is he called gershoim? Because ki amar gehayisi be'eretz nachriya, I was a stranger in a foreign land. Ve'shem hu echad Eliezer. That Eliezer, Lashon of Ezri, that the Rabbi Nishleilam saved me from the sword of Paroi. Now, the question is, when did he save him from the sword of Paroi? Zog Rashi. Kishegolu dasan aviram, shegiloi dasan aviram al dvar hamitzri. Dasan aviram went and told al Moshe Rabbeinu that he killed the Mitzri. Ubikesh laharigis Moshe naset savarika amud shel shayish. So it says, and it quotes from Mechilta Rashi, that they wanted to chop off Moshe's head and kill him for killing the Mitzri, and his neck turned to marble, shayish, whatever it is, something that's very, very hard, and it didn't kill him. So the obvious question is, what happened first? Ki Omar ger hayisi be'eretz nachriya, that he was a stranger in the land, that was after he left Mitzrayim, and he went to Midian. He was a stranger there. That's where he was a stranger. Ezri, Ke'elekei Avi be'Ezri, was when he was fleeing Mitzrayim. At that point, he wasn't yet a stranger. So it seemed to make more sense that his first son, Moshe, should have named his first son Eliezer. Thank you, Rebbeinu Shel Olam, for saving me from Paroi. And then secondly, when he was a ger in Eretz Nachriya, thank you to Rabbi Shalom for helping me over there that I stayed from. What was he saying? He Omar ger yisbe Eretz Nachriya, and Rabbi Shalom still protected him, and he didn't end up falling into the trap of the Avodah Zarah. So it would make sense that the name should be the opposite. So the Sefarna says that actually there was a decree of death on Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu killed the Mitzri, and there was an official decree. He was a most wanted, and they said, if we find him, we're killing him. It was when Moshe had his first child, Gershon, he wasn't saved yet completely from the sword of Paroi, because he technically, even though he was living out of the country, but if they would have found him at any point in time, he was still, his name was still on the list to say, let's kill him. After Moshe had his first child, but before he had his second child, that power died. Once power died, the decree was nullified, and therefore at that point he was completely free. In other words, there were two steps to this freedom. Rashi's telling us that he was saved because his neck turned hard, and that he was saved from the sword. But there was still something left from that, because he technically was still aimed to be killed. And when he had the complete Yeshua, when he had the complete knowing that he never has to worry about being from the sword of Paroi, he was officially exonerated at that point. The Moshe Paroi wasn't alive anymore, so that's why it says after the second son, it's called Vayatzelenu Mecher Paroi, and he called him Eliezer. Rechaim HaKadosh says, and when it says Ki Omar Ger Hayisi Beres Nachriya, he's talking about Olam Hazeh. This whole thing is talking about more metaphysical things, and we're actually talking about that Moshe Rabbeinu was saying is that he felt that he was a stranger in this land, which means is that he really felt that he was didn't really belong on this world, so to say. He wanted to stay connected to the Olam Haba. He wanted to stay connected to the world above. So first he was thinking, this is the way I understand the Rechaim, and that first he was thinking of his Ruchnis. Thank you, Rebbeinu Shel Olam, I'm on this world, but you help keep me that I'm a stranger here. I'm just a visitor here. We know that this world is only a antechamber for the world above. So if we get too comfortable here and we think this is where we belong, it's where we're supposed to be, that's not the proper attitude. We're supposed to come to this world so we can prepare to go into the next world. So Moshe Rabbeinu was saying, yes, first things first. First, I'm going to thank the Rebbeinu Shalom. When I have my first child, I'm calling him Gershon. The Rebbeinu Shalom kept me. I'm in a land of Nachriya. There's this terrible tumah in this world and other things. Of course, there's Kedusha in this world as well, but inherently, the Nisayonos are very strong. And the Rebbeinu Shalom kept him pure, and he was always a stranger in this land, always looking towards Olam Haba. And then after that, he had a second child who came to Rabbi Shalom for his Gashmias. The bottom line is, if he would have been killed, he wouldn't have had time to prepare for the world above. When we're down in this world, we have to prepare. And this world has a tachlis. It's not that he's a ger, he's a stranger, and this world doesn't have a tachlis. The tachlis of this world is to prepare for the next world. The Teferes Janison says that Moshe Rabbeinu was concerned for Klal Yisrael. He had a terrible tzar. It bothered him that what was happening to Klal Yisrael. He didn't know in the beginning, when it says when he had his first child, he didn't know that the Geul was coming. He wasn't aware of it. And therefore, when he didn't want to thank the Rabbeinu Shel Olam for the K'avi be'ezi v'yatzaleinu me'cher parai, from saving me from the sword of parai, he didn't want to thank the Rabbeinu Shel Olam for that yet, because he was too much bitzar that, yeah, thank you for saving me, but what about Klal Yisrael? Klal Yisrael was stuck in Mitzrayim, they were stuck as servants, he had this tzar. Before he had Eliezer, it was nigla to him, it was revealed to him that Klal Yisrael were going to be redeemed. At that point, now, even though they were still in Mitzrayim, but he already had, was K'ein, once he knew that it was happening, and he was told that there's going to be a Geula, and Klal Yisrael going out, even though it hadn't happened yet, it already happened by him. Because once he was told. And therefore, at that point, he was able to say, thank you Hashem for saving me from Parai. And it didn't bother him anymore that Klal Yisrael were there, because they were going to have a Geula. There's a very interesting question here. Medrash says that the Yisrael told Moshe Rabbeinu that you can marry Tzipporah, one condition. Your first child is going to go to Avodah Zarah. Moshe Rabbeinu agreed. And he got married. What in the world is China this medrash? It's a pelt. So Beirach Moshe says, Murdi Givert. It's Mamish Murdi. What does that mean? Rishin Lavaydezar. The first one has to go to Avaydezar. There's a Gemara in Saita and Dav Dalar and Beis. It's Machlekes. Whether a Talmud Chacham is supposed to have a Sheminis, Shebashminis of Gaiva. An eighth of an eighth of Gaiva. Now it's machlokes. According to one shita, a Talmud Chacham is supposed to have an eighth of an eighth of gaiva, 1/64th of gaiva. According to another shita, no, even that you shouldn't have. And Rabbi Yisrael says, "Minigay about gaiva, ain ani v'hu dor ba'ilamachas." Rabbi Yisrael says, "Me and a bal gaiva cannot live in the same world." Rabbi Yisrael says that. The Gemara tells us that someone is a Baal Gaiva, he's Ke'ilu Oved Avodah Zarah. Like he's worshipping Avodah Zarah. So Zok the Be'ach Moshe, he says, that's what they're arguing about. Yisroi was telling Moshe, I want my grandchildren to be brought up according to the Shita that says that a Talmud Chacham should have a Shminis or a Shminis. He should have a little 1/64th. It's very little. Halavai, we should only have that much. But he should have a 1/64th of Gaiva. And according to which Ke'en Bal Gaiva, again, is like Avodah Zarah. And Moshe Rabbeinu, who is Anav Mikol, he says, no, you can't even have an eighth of an eighth. I paskin, you can't even have an eighth of an eighth of an eighth. Nothing. No Avodah Zarah, Ke'en. And that's why Moshe Rabbeinu says, listen, okay. He didn't want to agree to that, because his shita was is that you shouldn't even have the eighth of an eighth. But Yisrael said, listen, he has who to rely on. There's Taka Shita that says there is a tzad to say that you could have an eighth of an eighth of Gaiva, and therefore you can have this word Ke'en Avodah Zarah. And therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu said, okay, the first one can go to Avodah Zarah, which is having a 64th of Gaiva, and the second one is absolutely no Gaiva. So, perhaps we can explain that the reason why, I mean, really, like the Ohr Chaim HaKodesh said beautifully, I think that's what he's trying to say, that the Shnei Benash Hashem Echad Gershom Kima Gerisi Beresh Nachiv Hashem Echad Eliezer Kedekei Aviv Gazi Yatsanei Mechar Parai. Taking the Pshatim we said together, it's really Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't worried about himself. He wasn't thanking the Rebbeinu Shalom for his own personal things. He was thanking the Rebbeinu Shalom for what he was able to accomplish in this world, for helping Klal Yisrael. He didn't want to say Elikei Aviv Be'ezri until Klal Yisrael were out of that Tzara, or at least he knew they were out of that Tzara. And he was more worried about the Ruchnis of this world. He was much more worried about the Ruchnis. Ruchni is Ki Margir Yisi Beres Nachri, and then after that, thank you, the Rebbe Nishalem, for my Gashmi as well. A little later in the parasha, a few psukim later, the pasuk says, "Vayichad Yisrael al kol hatoyve, asher osa Hashem liYisrael, asher hitzila miyamizay." Yisrael thanked the Rebbe Nishalem for all the good that Hashem did for Yisrael, that He saved him from the tzray. The Gemara in Sanhedrin and Asali Dal says, "Vayichad," that according to one shita, the word vayichad means some notion of chad, a oneness which is sharp, that he did a brismila. Yes, he did a brismila. In fact, Chaim Eizer, we know that Klai Yisrael didn't do a brismila 3.5 years in the Midbar. They state in the Gemara, why not? Because there was a ruach tefreinis, there was a northern wind. How this works, I don't know. But it was dangerous, it was sakana. Halach is, if a bris mila is sakana, we don't do it. And there's certain halachas that says if someone, if someone is born and his brothers, two of his brothers had bris mila and they both died from it, then he's not allowed to have one. If it's two or three. But then other day, because maybe if these children, this family, they have a bris mila, they're going to die. Sakana is nefashis, we don't do it. So the question is, why did Yisrael do it? So Chaim Eizer says is, when is it that only sachmana patre, that if someone is, you know, the sakonis nefashis, he doesn't have to do a mitzvah? That's only if he's a yid. Yisrael wasn't a yid. He was doing a bris mila, and it's entitled to become a yid. There's no din of only sachmana patre on the guy. It's very nice. I mean, you want to say he's putting himself in danger? It could be, but if he doesn't, he's not a yid. Until he does that, he's not a yid. And they say that there was a shayla asked to Moshe. They were trying to be Makar, this is going back 50 years ago or so, that they were taking kids that were not Shemesh Shabbos, the parents were not Shemesh Shabbos, and trying to get them, you know, from. And some of the parents were allowing their kids to go to yeshivas, even though they weren't from at all, they let them go. One kid said, he was turning by mitzvah, and he had non-kosher food in his house. In his house, they served non-kosher food. And he only wanted to eat kosher food. And they didn't know what to do. What are they going to do? If they go to the parents, and I'm all of the yeshiva had a shayla. If they go to the parents and say, he b'mitzvah now, he has a chiv, he needs to eat only kosher, they're going to pull him out of yeshiva. They're going to pull him out of yeshiva. They're going to say, don't tell us what to do. We're not giving him kosher. We don't have kosher in this house. We're pulling him out. But how do they have him in the yeshiva when they know that he's going to go home and he's going to be eating a tray for food? Moshe said, you should know, you said. A Baal Tshuva, someone who's trying to get onto the right path, he doesn't have to accept Kol Terekula Alayachas. A Ger, someone who wants to become a Ger, he says, even if he doesn't accept one mitzvah in the Torah, he's not accepted. But someone who's a Yid, and he wants to become Baal Tshuva, you should know that you should take it slow. Fakert, it's easier to have a kiyum to keep it this strength, to take it piece by piece, and there's no chiyah that, oh no, it's either I'm going to become completely from and do everything right, or just keep on doing what I'm doing, floundering, and maybe go off the derech completely. And that is not correct. Moshe says, you should, whatever you can accomplish, take it piece by piece, and hopefully you can become from it. Another pshat in Vayichad is that Vayichad a lashon of simcha, that Yisrael was very happy and excited on everything that was good. The Malbim, we're already 30 days before Purim, less than 30 days. We can talk about Megillas Esther. It says Megillas Esther, Hippel poor hu hagaru. Haman made a poor hu hagaru. Now, what's a poor? Poor is a lottery. What's a gairu? A lottery. You want to say it's in a different language. So good. So the positive. So all of a sudden, we have Megillas Esther. He's going to now teach words for us. Hippel poor. Haman made a gairu. What? You're going to ask me a question. What does poor mean? Who are gairu? That's a gairu. What mazach? What makes it even more strange is that when I hippel poor who are gairu says it in the beginning of Megillas Esther in Kapitel Gimel Pasuk Zayin. But it repeats it again at the end of the Megillah in Kapitel Tes, Pasuk Chav Dalet, when it's wrapping up at the end of the Megillah, it says, yeah, Hippel Poor Hu Hagaru. If you want to tell me, for whatever reason, that the Megillah is going to type words for me, but you don't have to repeat it again. And you already told me. What are you saying again? Hippel Poor Hu Hagaru. So the Malbim says the hippopur hu agiru, that there was a poor, there's a good lottery and a bad lottery. A bad lottery means that Haman was trying to make a bad lottery. This means that one of the days is going to be destruction for the Jews. When you say, oh, I'm making a girl, I'm girling off this pen. What does it mean? It means you're going to win something. So girl is a positive lottery, and poor is a negative lottery. Megillah is stressing, hippo poor. What was Haman doing? He thought he was doing a poor. He was doing a bad lottery. Hu ha-gayrul, exactly what he did. All his cheshbonos of making a lottery l'ra was all the type of Klal Yisrael. Everything that he did, you go through all the steps, and all, he made the tree, he got hung on it, he got hanged on it. Everything that happened was actually, all his cheshbonos was twisted around. That's why the Megillah stresses this. Hippel poor. What he thought was poor was going to be bad for Klal Yisrael, hu ha-gayrul. That was all, that was it. Not that it was a separate thing, but his poor was the girl. We know that the Gemara in Sanhedrin and Afkovov says that Yisroel was one of Paro's advisors. Now Yisroel, which means Yisroel was privy to knowledge of what was happening in the tribe. He knew Paro's cheshbonos. He knew what was happening behind the scenes. For perhaps there were many, many, many gzeiros that ended up being nullified before it happened to Klal. So we only know what happened. But Yisroel was behind all the scenes. It says in Targum, the Targum says Ashezodu, that when it says Ati Yadati, you're going to know Ki Godel Hashem, how the greatness of the Bnei Yisrael is, that everything that Paro tried to do to Klal Yisrael, exactly the opposite happened to him. Not the opposite, exactly that happened to him. Paro, all the people, they try to kill Klal Yisrael and kill the babies in the water, and we know the Mitzrayim got killed in the water. Just one example, there's many examples. Again, this Yisrael of Hippo Poor, who have you? Everything that Paro made the Cheshbonos, but that was good for Klal Yisrael. We don't always see the good, it's sometimes hard to see it in the beginning. You know, Tu Bishvat was on Shabbos. Tu Bishvat. What is it? It's a new year for the trees. I don't know if any of you guys have looked outside, but you see any new trees blossoming? I didn't see any trees blossoming. There's snow outside, it's winter. But what happens? It's a new, the seeds start to decay. And after it decays, that's what you end up having. It's, the roots are now forming. And now it's the beginning, Taka. You just don't see it. Now it looks dark. You see the abyss. But eventually, we'll see in a couple of months, it's not going to come out, but it has to start from somewhere. So a lot of times, things that hippo poor starts off as bad, and it looks bad, or you don't see anything. Where's the good? But who are girl that ends up coming out? The Maral says, he discusses a medrash. There's a medrash that says that Yisroel was the first one to... it was the Gemara in Tzadi Dalad, that Yisroel was the first one to praise the Ribbono Shel Olam. Yisroel was the first one to be mevorach the Ribbono Shel Olam. So, and the Gemara says, and it's a bizoyin on the Klal Yisrael, on Moshe Ben, and the 600,000 that didn't. Understood. What do you mean? Klal Yisrael saying Shira. Last week's parasha, Ozro Shem Moshe Ben Yisrael. What does that mean they didn't? So Morale explains the difference between Shira and Mevarach, blessing Klal Yisrael, blessing the Ribbono Shel Olam. Klal Yisrael thanked Shira and they thanked the Ribbono Shel Olam for what happened. They thanked them for being saved. They saw that they got out. They saw that they saw Kriyas Yamsuf. They saw different things. He says, but the Mevarach means to bench the Ribbono Shel Olam, that you were able to realize that everything from the beginning was good. Not just the future, but everything from the beginning. So Vayichad Yisrael Kol HaTevah, Yisroel, because he was privy to he knew a lot of the things that Paro tried to do, and he knew the background of, oh, Paro tried to do that, but look what happened, that backfired. He was the one that was able to see that even what looked bad to Klal Yisrael throughout the years in Mitzrayim, that's what the Pasuk said of Yichai, Al Kol HaTeva, on all the good, things that were looked like Ra, he said he was Yichai Yisrael Al Kol HaTeva, even on that, because he realized even that was good, and he was able to see it. This week's parasha, we have the Aseret HaDibros. The first Dibra is, Anorichi Hashem Melekech Asher Sisicha Mi'eretz Mitzrayim. Mi'beis HaVodim. Question. The Rebbeinu Shalom is saying, I am the God who took you out of Mitzrayim from the house of power, from the Beis Avodim, from the house of being a slave. Why did the Rebbeinu Shalom say, I'm the one who created the world? I mean, this is the way he's introducing himself. You should know, I'm the one that took you out of slavery. Wouldn't it be more potent to say, I'm the one who created the entire world? The Ramban says that it was through Yetzias Mitzrayim showed everybody that the Ribbono Shel Olam did create the world. How do we know? How did anyone know that the Ribbono Shel Olam created the world? He says is that when you see that something, so many things could happen, keneged hateva, only someone who created it can change it. So the fact that it was able to be 10 makas and everything that happened and the 250 makas aliyam and everything that happened in Mitzrayim and when Kaiser left Mitzrayim, that was proof that the Ribbono Shel Olam was the one who created the world. Because without that, maybe you don't have proof. Okay, it's very nice. The Ribbono Shel Olam created the world, but who says? So only someone who could be oiker, he completely oiker, I mean, he made the water split, all the makis, I mean, these things were completely oiker, the teva, as the world knew it, and that was the raya that the Ribbono Shel Olam was taka, the true creator of the world. The Midrash says that when the Ribbono Shel Olam said, Anoichi, Moshe said, Baruch Shaloi Yosanigai. That's what Moshe said. Now the question is, why did Moshe Rabbeinu say that? Why didn't Shaloi Yosanigai? So Moshe answers that we say the Taz. Taz says, why do we say every morning? We say in the brachas, Baruch Atah Hashem Yehachon Shaloi Yosanigai. Thank you, God, for not making me into a goy. Why don't we say, thank you for making me Shasani Yisrael? Why are we looking at the negative? Well, he didn't make me. Why don't I say, thank you for making me a yid? So Taz answers, he gives two terrors. Number one terrors he gives is because that is machlikis, whether it's good for a person to be created or not. Machlikis nimar. Now the answer, the fact that the Ribbono Shel Olam created someone, you would think that it was good for us, good for the world. But he says that they were going to be, even Shaloi Yosani Goy means that they're going to be from the Goy and they're also going to be people worthy, like Rus. And we know it's from Rus, from Rus came David HaMelech. So there is, Shaloi Yosani Goy is that even if we were created as a Goy, there could be something good. But nonetheless, Klal Yisrael is on a higher level. So we say, Baruch Atah Hashem Shaloi Yosani Goy, we want to point out that you know that some of the Goy also have something to them. If we just say, Shaloi Yosani Yisrael, so good, I know that, thank you Baruch Atah for making me Yisrael, but there's an extra point that we want to say. And that is, some of the Goy, the Tachlis in the Goy too. And the Goy also sometimes bring out Kavod Shemayim. The Kedush HaSlevi says that in through the Mitzrayim was Kavod Shemayim. By all the Makis that the Mitzrayim had, that came upon them, that itself was also Kavod Shemayim. So there's a tachlis in everything. There's a tachlis in the goyim as well. And especially when we know we have a gerim, we have Rus. I mean, that certainly, you know, she's a goy, but she, you know, before she became from, before she converted, but she was certainly a high madriga. So that's the reason why Moshe Rabbeinu says, Anoichi Hashem Malikecha Shesesicha Mitzrayim. And Bonham said, oh, since Baruch Shalai Sani Goy, goyim also could bring back Kavod Shemayim. But thank you, the Ribbono Shel Olam, for making me a yid, because that's even more important. The Paradis Yosef is a famous kasha. The teretz I saw in the Paradis Yosef, it's famous teretz. When Klal Yisrael got the Torah, the Malachim said, "Nope, you can't get the Torah." Why didn't the Malachim tie in a bar mitzvah? The din of bar mitzvah. Bar mitzvah means that if I have a field and the fellow next to me wants to sell his field, I have a right to buy it before anybody else. As long as I'm willing to pay fair market value, you know, I can't say, well, I want to pay $10 for a field that's worth $1 million. But if I'm willing to pay fair market value as much as someone else is willing to pay for it, I'm entitled to it first. It's a dinner of bar mitzvah. So why did the Malachim claim bar mitzvah? We're up here. The Torah is up here. We're right here. We get it first. So the answer to the Paradis Yosef, the dinner of bar mitzvah does not apply to children. So if somebody has, if I have a field and I now want to give it over to my children, I don't have to say 1 second, maybe my neighbor wants it first. There's no dinner by mitzvah. So the Torah, Klal Yisrael getting the Torah is the biggest proof that Klal Yisrael are banim Hashem. Klal Yisrael are the children of Ibn Yisrael. The Nachal Kedum says, it's the Neuch Hashem Lekecha Asher Hertz Yisicha. What is Asher? He says that the Gematria of Asher is the Tzach Adash V'yachach, which is the Rosh Tevis of the 10 Makis that happened in Mitzvah. This was, again, proof of what was happening here, that the Ibn Yisrael took Klal Yisrael out of Mitzvah. Is a Moedig and Marsha. Marshon Yibomus Dasama Bey says, what happened? Moshe Rabbeinu was in Shemayim. The Baruch Shalom tells him, Klai Yisrael made an eagle. Okay. He comes down, he sees the eagle, and he breaks the luchas. One second here. Why didn't he break it up in Shemayim? What did he wait till he came down? You're going to say that he didn't believe the Baruch Shalom? The Baruch Shalom told him, but Pam Wally, the Baruch Shalom said, Moshe Rabbeinu, Klai Yisrael made an eagle. So why did he wait? And for the Masha, the Goyim says this, and many say this, you say it, is someone can hear something, and they could know something. They can know something with 100% certainty. But when you see something, it has a rosh. If someone's father, if someone, your father were to call you up and tell you, hi, I'm in the kitchen, and there's a dead body here with blood all over it. You think your father's lying? Assuming your father's not a jokester, he doesn't play. He's telling you this is the truth, this is what's happening. Do you doubt him? No, you know that he's telling you the truth. If you were to go home then and go into the kitchen and see that body and see the blood, it has a reshem on a person. It just has an effect. When Moshe Rabbeinu came down, he saw the eagle, that made the reshem, and then he broke the luchas. So perhaps that's the pshat over here. We can know in theory, Klal Yisrael can know in theory, the Baruch Hashem created the world. He is the Borei Olam. But what's even stronger than that? How do we get one step past that? Asher Tzitzicha, Klal Yisrael saw that with their own two eyes. With their own, they made a reshim on them, much stronger. Yes, they believed until you can believe before that. But it's so much stronger if you have something that you can actually see. It's so much stronger. And that's why the Torah says, Anoichi, the Baruch Hashem says, Anoichi Hashem Lehiach Asher Tzitzicha Meretz Mitzrayim. Something that you saw with your own eyes. A level of more than knowing 100%, but that reshim that should affect us, that we should know that the Baruch Hashem is the Borei Olam, the one who created the world. And we are banim Hashem like Echad. We should be zeichet to see the Gula of Meir Amen.